Let's turn to Book of Acts. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. The Book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 6. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, verse 7. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, So, why are you persecuting me? Verse 8. So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Verse 9. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who speak to me. Verse 10. So I said, What should I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. This is a passage that we should all be very familiar with. This is the calling of Apostle Paul. And because of this calling, he was able later on to live a drastically different life. And because of this calling, he was able to derive a much more meaningful and valuable life. So this is the turning point, the calling, this experience is the calling of Apostle Paul, thus begin a new chapter of his life. This is the second week of NYTS at BMVP. Also, most of you have been here for 1 week already. I don't know how you live your past week. I don't know. For some of you, probably great. You are able to be forced to cut off from the worldly connection. So you start to feel this tranquility that you want but unable to obtain in your daily life outside before you come here. Some of you might feel miserable because you are deprived, taken away your internet access, your usage of social media, and your connection to the world. So you probably hate us very much. But it doesn't matter because 1 week has passed, and that week you will never get back in your life. So you spend 1 week in here and start from today. Whether you are the second week students or you just got here last night. Doesn't matter because start from today, a new chapter shall begin for NYTS, BMVP, and also shall be for you. Well, that's why I would like to use this passage of the calling of Apostle Paul to encourage the mentality that we should have as we march into the second week of this spiritual journey. Whether this will open a new page for you in your life or another dreadful and miserable week is all about you. It's all your decision. In the calling of Apostle Paul, there are three questions appeared. Some questions that he asked himself. Some questions were posed upon him. Someone else asked him. And so let's look at these three questions and reflect upon our journey of faith, our pursuit for spirituality today. Number one, let's turn back to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 8. And verse 8, so I answer, Who are you, Lord? Apostle Paul, or shall I call him Saul at this moment, he has been a very zealous Jew. He was a Pharisee, a scholar, a very devoted believer of God. He pursued
after the scriptures. He prayed to God all the time. He do so-called holy work, though by persecuting Christians. But his intention, remember, his intention is doing something for God. So a man who knows about God, who knows about scriptures, who did a lot of holy work. But from this question, we realize one thing. He doesn't know who God is. He pursued on the outer appearance of faith, which is work, but neglect the importance of spirit, the core, which is God himself. So you know what? That's why in here, suddenly, he asks a question, Lord, who are you? However, today, the generation, which is you, instead of asking this question in your spiritual journey, you know, when Paul was called by God, he said, Lord, who are you? I need to know you. Instead of that, today, when we come to the presence of the Lord, instead of asking, Lord, who are you? We say, Lord, do you know who I am? What do I mean by that? When I say that, you ask God, hey, do you know who I am? Means that we want God to cater into our preference. Because I am like this, so you should fit or cater into my want. Because this is my personality, so the church need to change and adapt into what I want. You know what? Nowadays, we are not pursuing after God and having as our master. It's more like we come here and dominating the church with our personality and our preference. So instead of asking, Lord, who are you? We want God to, hey, know who I am. That's the problem. We come to church, we prefer to be satisfied by the church. We believe in God, but we prefer for God to answer every single one of our requests. It need to be what I want. It need to be my style. It need to be my culture. It need to be my dress code. You know what? That's why when we search in this journey, we do not see God. Deacon Soga once made a very interesting comparison, or I don't know what you call that. He said that nowadays many people, they are not believing in God. They are believing in idol. Christians, even among us. And I asked him, what does he mean by that? He said, nowadays, we often say, I feel my God should be like this. I believe my God will not do that. I think that my church should behave in certain way. Deacon Soga told me that, you know what, every time when we say that, we are actually creating an idol, an image inside of us. That's not the God in heaven. That's the God that you create in your heart that you prefer to cater into your personal desire. My God should be like this. My God wouldn't do that. That's not God. That's the idol in your heart. My God is very understanding, so sinning is okay. He will be forgiving whatever I do. That's a self-justification. Also, instead of asking, Lord, who are you? We always want God to cater into our need. And we think God need to do that for us because he is so loving. You are wrong. So you know what? Sometimes we see the new generation, like the young people. They like to question. Questioning the church, questioning the Bible, questioning about God. And sometimes you see those arguments on the internet of why I cannot stand church anymore. The church is pressing me. The church deprived me from this right. The church giving me restriction about how I dress, that deprive me from my freedom to express myself. Try to say that to your boss at work. Any company that has dress code. When you are interviewed, you are told, oh, you know what, this is a dress code of the company. Oh, you take the job because they pay good. Potential, paying good. So you decide to work for them. Try to say that to your boss. Hey, the company dress code deprive me from my right to impress myself. Then the company, the boss will say to you, the door is right there. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Hey. And then you were like, oh, sorry. And then you go back to your office. And then you start dressing very carefully because you want the job. You know what? You are so good in listening to your boss at work. Because what? You're afraid you might losing your job. And then suddenly you come to church. Oh, freedom, liberty, the church is no right to stop me from expressing myself. Hey, what's going on here? You're just a coward. You are taking advantage of God. Just because God did not strike you down on the spot. So you have no fear. Imagine if what happened in the book of Acts to the couple that happening today. Deceive the Holy Spirit. Wow, die on the spot. The Bible says the whole church suddenly very fearful. God is real. The reason that we are so dare to speak so freely, challenging God against church, is because we have no fear. We have no fear. Instead of believing in God, we believe in ourselves. Instead of worshiping God, we worship ourselves. So we feel that everything needs to be catered into me, what I want. That's why I say that instead of asking, Lord, who are you? In the journey of faith, pursue knowing God. We want everyone to fit our preference. We want the earth to rotate according to our desire. That's why we do not see God. And that's why our society is turning to a chaos right now. So brothers and sisters, please do remember. Why are you here? Why are you here? You are not here to argue whether the church's dress code is too harsh or not. You are not here to argue if I sin and commit fornication. Why is the church so mean, so rude, so conservative, not allow me to marry in the church? You know what? We keep on focusing our faith on why can I break the rule instead of focusing on I want to go to heaven and see my Lord. Why are you believing in God? For you to stay in church for 10, 20 years, what's the purpose? Is it just so that you will gather enough information that you can come and tell the church that I don't like you? Then you know what? Everything that you have done in the past 10, 20 years is really waste of your time. If you don't know why you believe in God. In here, the first thing that Paul asks is, Lord, I need to know you. That's the core, that's the center of your faith. Doesn't matter what happened around you. Fair, unfair. You like it, you don't like it. At the end of the day, this is how you go to heaven, then I will accept it. I will swallow it and keep on going on. You know what? You think that in the journey of Apostle Paul, he never encountered what you are seeing today. When Paul was first believed and converted, he went to Jerusalem. People are afraid of him, right? People are afraid of him. Outside people tried to kill him because he betrayed them. Inside people were afraid of him because he used to kill them. So, you know what? For Paul, it's very difficult. Both sides hate me, afraid of me. But what did he do? Did he run away and say, forget about this? No. He said, let me diligently seeking for God. And when I see God, I have the direction of my faith. So brothers and sisters, this is your goal. Finding God, seeing God is why you are here. And number two, the second question that he asked, he said, Lord, what should I do? When you are very clear about why you believe in Jesus, very clear destination, very clear goal, second question is, what should I do in order to obtain the goal? Again, if we look from the other direction, a typical direction, the other direction is what? Hey, church, what are you going to do for me? Seriously, many people come to church, they expect the church need to provide my satisfaction. So when they come to church, they hear him singing. Not very touching. I mean, yesterday was great. I have to say that, you know what, when you sing yesterday, very moved. And I believe many of you, when you are standing up there, you, as you are singing, you can probably feel that God is also listening, is smiling at you too. It's very, very, very wonderful. But sometimes, but that doesn't happen every single time, right? And sometimes in the local church, when you listen to them singing hymns, you're like, oh, what's wrong with these people? Right? You know, that's what happened. And maybe you are one of the contributors to the out of tune. Yeah. So sometimes we feel, oh, you know what? I don't feel this in the church. I don't have that in the church. The church is not providing what I need. What do you need? Think about what do you need? A lot of that what we want is this emotional movement, compelling, that we feel that if I have that, oh, a great sermon giving, wow, with all those eloquent speech, a powerful choir that moved me to tears, sensational, emotional. I'm not saying those are bad. A wonderful choir touched the heart of many, which is wonderful. A beautiful sermon reached the dry heart of the needy and nourished. Beautiful, no problem. But is that the only thing that you want? Just to feel good in the church. And then you don't feel good this time. You go back on your internet, writing on the blog, ah, this pastor, so terrible. Ah, Pastor Raymond yelling at us again. Let the whole world know he's terrible. You know, what are you doing? You have to remember, it's not about you. It's never just about you. It's about you and God. Before you do anything, before you snap, jump, complain about church, criticize about God, you have to remember one thing. At the end of the day, the Bible says every single thing, every single word that you say will be judged, including every posting that you make will be judged. Seriously. Because my class for the next week is social media, so yeah. Just prepare you for it. But in here says, Lord, what should I do? You know what? He turned and put the focus on his responsibility. I should do something. It could be anything. When he said, Lord, what shall I do? Do not think that he was asking for holy word. Oh, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I translate? Shall I interpret? Shall I do sermon? Shall I start teaching class? Shall I do this and that? No, he was like, how shall I change myself? Me, changing me, instead of changing you. What do we do today? Nah, I'm okay. Changing church. Church has cultural bias. I don't like the food served at the lunchtime. I only like French fry and chicken nugget. And then you know what? You make a big fuss out of it. You put it on lock again. Today, the church has been very cruel and insensitive, inconsiderate for the Western background. Who? You! Right? Just because you like burger doesn't mean that we all like burger. Okay? So who is inconsiderate? You! Because you only care about yourself. That's why in here, when Paul said, what shall I do? We say, what shall you do for me? That's why in this journey of faith, we are often weak and sometimes detested by God. Look at what Israel do. You know, we are doing exactly the same as what Israelites were doing when they in the desert, in the wilderness. Oh, you know what? God did this great miraculous thing. Open the Red Sea. You cross the Red Sea. And then what happened? What happened? Hey, where's my food?
Oh, okay.
Give you food, manna. Hey, where's my meat? Fine, give you meat. Where's my water? I'll give you water. What else do you want? It's all about I want this. Give me that. And then if you don't give it to me, what happens?
I tell you, I go back to Egypt. And then what the Lord say? Well, enough is enough. I tell you, I strike you down in the wilderness. The same thing is going to happen to us. The Lord is trying very hard to keep us in His fold. We are the one keep on struggling, trying to run away. Don't blame the church, don't blame God, and don't blame the pastor. Okay? Whatever happened at the end of your life is your choice. And I'm sorry to tell you, you make a decision, you pay for the consequence. At the end of Judgment Day, you don't have to bring up my name. Seriously, don't, please, don't. In the Judgment Day, when the Lord say, you're going down,
I say, but Pastor Raymond,
what? You are liable for your decision, and you are going to face God alone, on your own. Don't bring my name. It's not going to help you. Maybe you'll pull me down with you, but I hope not. So seriously, ask yourself, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? What do I want from this spiritual event? How do I want to feel the day when I see God? You can see Him with fear, because everything that you did in this world will be judged. And meanwhile, when you say, hey, it's legal, hey, everyone does that. Hey, this is how the world is. Hey, this is my right. All those things that keep you so pompous in this world and so fearless about the Bible is not going to work on the Judgment Day. You can say, oh, because of Obama, the new law. The Lord saying, well, he's down there. Seriously. What is your reliance for your action today? Law? Internet support? What is your reliance? Because on the judgment that you have to understand, this is the only thing that will judge you accordingly. So if it's different than this, you can show him, oh, this is the constitution. Oh, this is the law. My lawyer say okay. On the judgment day, the Lord is not going to say okay. So in here, please ask yourself, what am I doing here? What do I want? Where do I want to be at the end? Another week. So at the end of this week, ask yourself, from today, another week, in the next 5, 6, 7 days, where do I want to be at the end of this seminar? Lord, what shall I do? What should I do? Now, what should the pastor do for me? Not the counselor, the team captain, the brother and sister who work very hard in the kitchen. Oh, no. What should I do in order to make this event meaningful? Now, sometimes in the feedback, oh, this is boring. Ah, this is too much. Pastor talk too much. Always rebuking. We should have more fun activities. Oh, you know what? On the feedback, I don't read feedback anymore. I don't. Guess what? A lot of times I found feedback. Well, some of the feedback is very, very useful and sincere. I'm not saying you have to write wonderful, good sermon. I don't need you to write all the, just trying to please us. But feedback is not about your feeling only about the sleeping quarter is not good, I miss my bed, this kind of stuff. The food, I prefer fried chicken. So you have to ask yourself, those are not important in here. Not at all. Because you will forget. Do you remember last year NYTS?
On the second week, the first Sunday, what do you have for lunch? Is it so crucial, so critical? On that day, someone take the last piece of chicken. And because of that, I'm not coming back to church. You know what? You will forget what you eat. But you will not forget the moment in your prayer that God touches you. You will not. And that experience will last with you for the rest of your life. Every time in your future journey, at work, at home, when you have this weak feeling, weak faith, the moment that you are weak, and suddenly it will come back to you. 2015, NYTS, I was very down, angry with the world, feel lonely, deserted by people. That's when my Lord came, touched me on the shoulder, hold me in his bosom, and say, no worry, I'm always here for you. And that will last with you, that will last for the rest of your life, that you will never forget. At the moment that you are weakest, that memory will come back. That warmth, that embrace will come back to you. So the last question that was given to Paul is, brother, why are you still waiting? Get up. Do something about your faith. Let's all come to the front.